How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
Hey, Jenna.
Hey, Danny.
Our first recap of the season. We're back. Season five.
Finally. Fall has arrived.
Fall has arrived, and we're both ready for the holiday spirit.
Big time.
Although every single season of this podcast, we do say we're going to get together in the summertime to cover a movie, we never end up doing that.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
We don't. We always promise it, and then we never end up doing it.
But, it's all good.
But you know what? We're doing our best. And you and I see each other.
Yeah, because we see a lot of movies.
We just don't pull out the microphones.
Yeah, yeah.
But update our listeners on how has your year been? You have a holiday movie yourself that you wrote that's going to be coming out this season, although we don't know the date. But maybe you can tease that. Let us know about your year.
Absolutely. No, I wrote a Hallmark Christmas movie called A Perfect Christmas Pairing, and it aired, we shot last fall, and so it's going to be airing this Christmas. No idea when, but it looks so cute.
Yeah. Oh, we watched the trailer before recording.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So we'll stay tuned for that.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
Good. Yeah. No, I had some health stuff this year, which was annoying, but I'm all good now. I'm healthy and happy. And I have a new holiday book coming out October 24th. So people, please get that. There's tons of holiday stories in there. If you're a holiday movie lover, you'll love this book. There's tons of holiday movie references. There's a whole Halloween chapter. There's a couple Thanksgiving chapters and then a lot of Christmas. It's called The Jolliest Bunch. Get it October 24th, please. There's an audiobook. There's a hardcover with pictures. That's great. Whatever your method of choice. Whatever your poison, pick your poison.
Yes.
Now, Jenna, we are going to be covering Halloween Town.
Danny, I had never heard of this movie. 1998, made for TV, like Disney Channel movie.
Yeah, for $11.
Yes. Oh, that was absolutely
$11 budget.
Oh.
Now, this is a movie that's been requested that we do every single year. We take requests on our Instagram page or whatever. And a lot of people always say Halloween Town. Came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. Now, you had never seen it, and I had actually never watched it either.
Yeah.
I feel like it came out in this weird... I was around 12 when it came out. And so I was think I was at that weird age where you're kind of too cool for certain things.
Yes.
So I feel like many of our generation love this movie. Mm-hmm. They made three fucking sequels to it.
Yeah.
It was just maybe a little bit of a blind spot for the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, actually, that made it better going into it, not knowing anything.
Yes.
Because sometimes with these kinds of movies, you're almost blinded by nostalgia, right? Like, you love it as a kid. But we were going into it with fresh eyes.
Yeah, where I had no emotional connection to this. I mean, you could call it plot, but I don't even know what that would be. I love Debbie Reynolds. Of course, you have a Hollywood
incredible classic. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I did actually kind of love it. I really kind of fell in love by the end.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of it, I was a little hesitant. And I was like, what is this cheap piece of shit?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, wow, I want to visit Halloween Town again. Where's the sequel? Mm-hmm. Bring on the sequel.
Bring on the sequel.
Now, not only has this been something that's been requested, but it's also, I thought, appropriate for us to cover it because on TikTok, mm-hmm. I'm on TikTok, and there's oftentimes people use a sound clip from this movie when they're posting Halloween autumnal content. Mm-hmm. And so I kept hearing this voiceover clip, which I'm going to play for everyone in just a second, but I kept hearing it on TikTok anytime I'd log in and look at my autumnal content. And so it just felt apropos. It felt like, okay, the universe Self-care. Is telling yeah. us we need to cover Halloween Town and watch it. So here's the clip that's essentially gone viral on social media if you follow witchy kind of accounts like I do. And I'm going to play it, and then we'll get into the film.
Perf.
Why are you so obsessed with Halloween? I mean, it's just like Mom says. It gives little kids dumb ideas about there being magic. Like, that helps them prepare for life. Personally, give me a good nature documentary any day.
Halloween is cool, Nature Boy. I mean, it's exciting, strange, and ancient. Plus, Mom and Dad met on Halloween.
The voiceover. Oh. It made me happy. I mean, just hearing people talk about Halloween. I don't know. I just love the Halloween holiday.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I don't know why any of the residents in Halloween Town, they were not doing anything Halloween-y. We need to unpack that.
Oh my God,
after we get to Halloween Town, because we got to talk about the setup.
Well, the looks of those people were insane. I mean, and I love the idea of them just like deciding, okay, you're going to be a dog.
Yes.
And then you're going to be a skeleton. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like... How do we determine who the creatures are that fulfill this Halloween Town?
I think they did a cattle call. This is my thought. Someone went to Burbank, posted a flyer being like, whatever you have in your own costume trunk, please show up at the studio lot at 8 a.m. And like, no, there was no...
the parking lot of Groundlings. They're like, who's got a wig? Yes, you're in.
Exactly. And like, even from Lights Up, the start seems kind of fun though. They're kind of bustling around the house, almost a la Home Alone. Mm. I saw a lot of weird nods to other 90s movies. I saw that too. Even like the three kids just reminded me of Doubtfire instantly. I was like, is like, and then the little one is just staring out the window being like, someone's coming. And I was like, okay.
I know. Right away, witchcraft.
Yeah, totally. Which,
I was cracking up to thinking about like all these movies in the 90s, like Practical Magic and Halloween Town. Like no one had any issues with like witches, likable witches who eat children or vampires, but there were no gay people to be seen. It was like, we're not putting a gay character in a Disney Channel original film. However, we will put like these women who are just casting spells or hocus pocus eating children.
Yeah. Phil, do you think Marnie, the 13-year-old tween lead, she was so annoying? You know what I mean?
I thought she was bratty. Totally I thought she was bratty.
She like, rolls her eyes constantly. I was like, if I was doing a drinking game where I took a sip every time Marnie rolled her eyes or was like, totally, you know, you'd be hammered.
Wait, okay. So this brings us to an interesting conversation because on my other show, sometimes when I talk about like the teenage kids on Housewives or one of the shows that I'm recapping on my other podcast, I will say they're being brats or shitheads or whatever, right? And I often hear from parents who are like, if you have teenage kids, like that's how they act. They're awful. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always think like, yes, they will be awful, but sometimes I think like parents need to be like, stop being an asshole.
Yeah.
Do you think that's appropriate? Because I'm not saying verbally or physically or anything, do anything to your children. But I am saying that like, I think it is okay as a parent to say like, stop being a shithead.
Yes.
Don't be an asshole. Like, that's what my parents would do to me, like if I was being an asshole.
Yeah, course correcting. Yeah. Especially if you know that they're secretly a witch, you know? And the mom, who, by the way, April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Judith Hogue is the woman who plays the mom.
She's great.
Yeah, she was in the Ninja Turtle movies.
Yeah.
Although they recast her for one of, I believe it was like the second Ninja Turtle movie or something. Mm-hmm. And by the way, speaking of casting, the girl who plays Marnie, she was recasted for the fourth Halloween Town movie.
Oh, okay.
And so in my research, I find that people are very upset with the fourth Halloween. I think it's called the Halloween Town High. Maybe that's the fourth one. Unclear. But Halloween Town fans are pissed because they recasted that character and people weren't having it.
And they were loyal.
Yeah.
To their
queen. I get. You have to be, you know, loyalty is everything in this world.
It's kind of like Home Alone when they like recast Kevin as someone else. I'm like, no, make a whole new movie.
I know. Just make different character names.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like if we don't need it. Okay. So I do have some facts about this movie.
Yes.
about how it got made. Originally, like, it was something that was pitched years in advance. It was pitched to NBC as part of a 6-movie deal. The network bought it. And with the green light, the people who had pitched the idea brought on the screenwriter to write the script. Now, he took inspiration from his own life, used the names of his children, Marnie, Dylan, and Sophie, as the three children. And it was originally to air in the 9 p.m. time slot on NBC, and it was geared towards an adult demographic.
Weird.
As a result, the original script was much darker and mature. In 1994, the script was presented to NBC, and the network decided to pass ultimately on the project. And then in 97, so that all happened in 94, 93, 94. Then in 97, they established a production company, the people who originally had this pitch. They returned the idea. They pitched it to the Disney Channel. And Disney Channel initially passed, but they did another Disney Channel made-for-TV movie called Under Wraps about, like, a mummy. And that did really well. So then the network was like, okay, we need this.
Can we do that one, too?
So then they, yeah, we'll have to watch.
We do Under Wraps. Which,
Under Wraps, I think they just did a whole new, like, reboot of that movie. Anyway, so then they ultimately did this movie, and it was supposed to be a $20 to $30 million project, and it ended up being $4 million. Although I think
they spent $4 million on
it. I still think it was like $11.
Oh yeah, 100%.
$11.
Where'd the money go?
So that was the where is the money?
That's the backstory.
The one the character that I loved the most was that skeleton taxi driver.
Oh yes.
Like, I just thought he was amazing.
He had great face animatronics. Compared to the rest of the movie, that was the most high budget effect they had.
100%.
Yeah.
And I know I always complain about gay representation on this show, and people probably roll their eyes and get annoyed about it. But I do believe that that skeleton was gay, because at the end of the movie, he was like cuddled up with this other like warlock demon.
Yeah.
Who looked like a boy demon. And so I was like, oh, that taxi cab driver. Like, I not only loved him before that, but then when I realized, like, oh, that's his husband, the evil demon.
Yeah.
Then I was into it.
You're into it. I love that he was the only driver in the town, and he was a crazy driver. He
like did not accept payment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also love in the setup, this is just a classic trope of the nod to the dead dad reveal. It's always just a photo framed of a man that we'll never see or hear about again. You know?
And I wondered if they... I was confused sort of halfway through. I was like, did I miss what happened to the dad?
No, they never told us.
So they didn't tell us exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we just... Yeah. Okay.
There's like, he's dead. And then the mom, oh, then, and the kids, I think Marnie and then the little boy, the son, were like, don't bring up dad. It always bums out mom. I'm
like, oh yeah, of course. She lost her husband. She's still grieving. Yeah. And
then, I do like that the idea of the humans and the witches in, like, breeding, creating these children, these hybrids, you know?
I was a little confused.
The whole time? Yes, me too.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, Danny. Yeah, let's just
lay it out there.
Confusion. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that it started with the mom kicking out Marnie's friends from the home and like establishing that like the mom hates Halloween, even though she met the dad on Halloween. And so I think that was what the first thing I was a little confused about, like, what are the rules? Because we're essentially like meeting this whole new world.
Yeah.
And I was confused even with like the timeline stuff, like how did the witches start Halloween Town? And then there's also this weird time space continuum where it's like Halloween Town time moves slower than real world time.
The rules of it are very confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I always prefer, like I wished they had a like voiceover at the beginning, or like I always say, let's just put something on the screen, like explain the rules to me like really quickly up top. Like even though it's going to be super exposition heavy.
Yeah.
Explain it to me so I could settle in and be like, okay, this is how time works. This is why that world's over there. And I felt like they were just sort of dripping out information about the world, but I wish they just sort of gave it to us up front.
Totally. And when Debbie Reynolds, when the little girl's like, someone's coming, and then it's their grandma who arrives via like Ms. Frizzle school bus.
Oh my God.
And then Mary Poppins her ways down. I was
the
like,
bag is alive.
The bag's alive. And then she shows up, and then the daughter's pissed, you know, or like the mom.
The mom is pissed because mom hates her mother, the grandma, Debbie Reynolds. I know that Debbie Reynolds has a name. I think it's Agatha. But I'm calling her Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
And Debbie Reynolds is so old school Hollywood. And we were texting while watching this. I was just picturing her in between takes, like with a cigarette, like, telling the young kids, like, this is what old Hollywood was like.
Exactly. You know?
Like, she's got the stories
talking
that
shit about Liz Taylor, who stole her husband, you know, like
the stories that that woman has. You just know she is thinking about old Hollywood, her and Judy Garland on the set and talking about how they used to dry swallow some amphetamines.
Yeah, exactly.
And then were shoved in front of a red light for 14 hours. Like, that's the kind of
the glory days.
That's where Debbie Reynolds is coming from.
Yeah.
And so I just, even at the end, I know I'm skipping around, but Debbie Reynolds' character was pointing when she got frozen.
Yeah.
This was the most Debbie Reynolds thing of the whole movie to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
She got frozen and had her hand up pointing.
Yeah.
And I thought, no modern day celebrity would do that, knowing that for however long they have to film them frozen, would have to have their hand frozen upwards in the air pointing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And yet Debbie Reynolds did that because she's old school Hollywood. So she had to then film with her hand frozen in the air when the character was frozen, instead of like the mom, Judith Hogue, April O'Neil, aka. When she was frozen as a character, she was just frozen in like sort of a what's the word I'm looking for? Like
lounge position.
Lounge position.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Debbie Reynolds was like full muscle. She's like, look, I'm old school. I will be frozen like this for however long they fucking need me to.
It's a pro.
She's a pro.
She's a pro.
She's a pro. I loved it.
I also love that magic purse. Yeah, the nonsensical stuff, that the skeleton totem, the garlic to ward off vampires. Again, there's so much going on.
Right. Pigs, vampires.
The witch medallion that came into play later. What was it called? Like the
talisman?
Yeah, the talisman.
The talisman was like
Merlin's. Was it Merlin's talisman?
Oh my God. Wait. The evil villain was Calabar? Was
Calabar, yeah. Which, again, we have to talk about Calabar.
I know. Calabar, I actually was sort of scared by. Were you scared? I would have been terrified. I was thinking, like, if I saw this when I was 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
I think I actually would have been scared. I know I was just saying I was thinking I was too cool school for this.
But he was like an incel Willy Wonka, you know, like she left him and then got married a human. So he's like super pissed about it.
Right.
Became the mayor for no reason. We don't know.
Like, Jenna, this is controversial.
Yes.
What I'm about to say is going to turn off a lot of listeners.
Okay, great.
And I'm prepared for the backlash, but I sort of sided with Calabar. Mm-hmm. Was that his name? Chocolate Bar? Calabar. They called him one point.
Yeah, Chocolate Bar.
By the end of it, I was sort of siding with him because I was like, why do these people have to live in a different world? Like, why can't they? Like, all he was saying was like, yeah, we shouldn't have to have our own little world. Like, we just want to be part of your world, like Little Fucking Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were all mad at him for that. And I was like, actually, I think he's sort of got a point.
Yeah, these freaks belong in the real world.
Like, let everybody live in the real world.
Yeah.
Like, Calabar just wants to live amongst the people, where he wants to be where the people are.
Yeah. And he lives in City Hall, apparently. I was like, but this is also what confused me about Halloween Town in general, was that there was no Halloween shit happening. They weren't trick-or-treating. Right. They weren't like taking pillowcases around, bobbing for apples. It was honestly just townspeople milling around. Like, that's what was strange to me.
Yeah.
I was like, let's do some Halloween stuff. It was always day.
And I do feel like they kept saying they were doing Halloween stuff, but weren't actually doing Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
Like, as Debbie Reynolds is taking the gals through the town, the two daughters and the son, after they snuck away, because they snuck on the bus to Halloween Town. And so they get there because this whole thing, the whole setup of the movie is that the oldest daughter is turning 13 years old and like needs her witch power.
To be training. She has to start her training.
She's got to start the training. And Debbie Reynolds needs the help to fight Calabar. I keep wanting to call him Akbar, which is the name of a gay bar.
So I love Akbar.
So Akbar or Calabar, he is trying to get the Halloween Town talisman so that the whole Halloween Town world can be integrated with the regular world. Mm-hmm. And so Debbie Reynolds needs the assistance of her grandchildren. So yeah, they sneak away to Halloween Town. And as they're walking around, Debbie Reynolds keeps saying like, look at all the Halloween stuff. And yeah, I'm like, where is the Halloween stuff?
Yeah.
Give me an apple picking or like, I don't know.
And she's like, I've been living here forever. And it's like, that's also weird. Yeah. The time continuum.
And they said they hadn't seen the grandma for over a year, which leads me to believe so they didn't see the grandma for last Halloween, but they saw her, I guess, previous to that.
Yeah.
But the oldest daughter always felt like a witch. Like, she always had these witch qualities. And they hint at the youngest having these witch qualities when the youngest is trying to get a chocolate chip cookie and the mom's being a nightmare and like, you can't have that fucking chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, which that was also weird too. The mom was such a
downer.
Yeah.
Like, let him have some candy. That's such a weird... She kicked the friends out on Halloween night.
On Halloween night.
And then wouldn't even let the youngest daughter have a chocolate chip cookie on Halloween night, even though you won't let the kids go trick or treating. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. And she made them, this is also a weird moment when they're eating dinner. No one's done. She's like, all right, time to go to bed. I'm like, they didn't even get cookies. Like, you just go straight from dinner to bed on Halloween. Like, this lady's like not that cool.
Let me ask
like,
you,
Calabar,
something.
You dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Like, she's not that fun.
No, she's actually the worst character in this.
Maybe. I agree. Yeah.
When you were a kid and you were at the dinner table, were you a picky eater? And then also, I want to know, how did you wrap up dinner? Like, did you say, can I excuse myself for. I just want to know your childhood eating habits.
Oh, yeah. So I was not picky. I had a pretty wide, bland palate. We always had to, my dad would always go around and ask everyone how their day was. You had to finish your milk because that was, you know, the 90s. And then you asked
me. We were drinking so much milk in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. So much 2%, just downing it. And then we had to ask, may I please be excused?
Right.
Yeah. What about you guys?
And if you, well, yeah, I think we had to be excused. We weren't milk drinkers actually, but the 90s were a milk generation.
Yes.
Like the milk industrial complex with all those fucking milk mustache ads.
I had them all over my childhood bedroom.
Jenna, like, what the fuck was that about?
Great
question.
Every
celebrity was doing a milk campaign.
Big dairy.
How does dairy have all the money for that? Like, where's dairy getting the money? Because they had to pay those celebrities a lot, and they had a new one every fucking day.
All the time.
Every
constantly.
Day
every
there was
magazine.
A new milk campaign.
That's weird.
So who was paying them? Because you know they got paid a pretty penny. And then what was that about?
Yeah.
Why were they just so aggressive with our milk drinking? Because I don't think we're supposed to drink that much milk.
No, not after we're like weaned off of breastfeeding. Like, we're not supposed to be downing 16 ounces.
Jenna, I think they were doing some witchcraft there somehow. I'm not sure exactly. Somebody have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. We're not the experts, but there was some witchcraft going on with the milk campaigns.
There was. I agree.
But we were the kind where it was like, I brought this up because I feel like if you didn't eat dinner, you just didn't eat. Like, you could go. If you don't want the dinner, my parents would be like, okay, then you're just, you know, you get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not going to make something new. Where nowadays, like my nieces and nephews, I feel like they, if they don't want something, then everyone's like bending over backwards to be like, okay, let's make you something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to be always that grumpy old man who's like, back in my day.
Yeah.
But back in my day, you just didn't eat if you didn't want what was served to you.
Yeah. Get some goldfish crackers and call it a night.
I'm such a grumpy, grumpy old man.
Agnes was seemed like a really fun grandma. But so in the start too, when she comes in and she's like, she turns the chicken.
I love what you're doing with your hands. Oh, yeah. The listeners can't see, but you were doing spirit fingers, spooky spirit fingers.
And she's like, and so April O'Neil's like, mom, you can tuck him into bed, but just don't mention Halloween Town.
Story.
And she goes upstairs and just is like, here's my Halloween Town book. Let me tell you guys about Halloween Town. I was like, I love this. Just, Jenna, I don't give a fuck.
The grandma's not listening to them at all.
No
grandmas do, I don't believe. Like, no, they don't listen to their kid. They do what the fuck they want.
Yeah.
But what I loved about that book she had was that, so she's reading this Halloween Town book, and in the book, there's like this witch on a broom, and Marnie thinks it's her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally just the most generic young
brunette.
Woman. Brunette. Like, it's a cartoon brunette. Does not look anything like Marnie, other than, I don't even think they had the same color hair. It was like a darker color on the cartoon version.
Yeah.
But anyway, Marnie's like, that's me. And I was like, Marnie, that's a stretch. Like, that's not you.
Yeah, no.
It's not photorealistic. So cool it. Like, you think you're the witch in the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, Debbie Reynolds, she's really sells everything despite what the script is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Debbie Reynolds was like, how do you think she felt actually about getting this role? Because Debbie Reynolds, but by 98, Debbie Reynolds wasn't getting a starring role in a lot of features in the way that she should have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, people in the Hollywood industry do not value women over a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
So Debbie Reynolds, unfortunately, just wasn't starring in a lot of films. And so she, I imagine, gets this offer at her home.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, the script is 4 pages long.
It's 4 pages.
Yeah.
they'll pay you.
She got probably 3 of the 4 million that was budgeted. Yeah. It was probably for Debbie Reynolds.
They just gave her a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card and they're like, get on set. She's like, okay, where's my red light?
Yeah.
Like, that's what the kind of vibe. But I think, do you think she checked in with like daughter Carrie Fisher or something? Was like, what's going on? Or should I do this? And she ends up doing this, but I just wonder if she embraced it. And I'm sure we could probably look up interviews and stuff. I wonder if she embraced it because it was so popular, mm-hmm. and it must have been strange for her, this icon, to be known by a whole generation as this witch from Halloween Town when she has done so much.
So many other
things.
I did a deep dive on her. So I she wanted to teach PE. That was her like life goal.
Debbie Reynolds wanted to teach PE.
In like the 40s, she was like, I can't wait to be a PE teacher. And then in 1948, she won Miss Burbank contest and was offered her a screen test by Warner Brothers the day after her win. And so she only entered the contest because everyone who entered received a silk scarf, a blouse, and a free lunch.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing? And now,
free lunch.
Yeah, she was like, so that's I want a blouse.
So that's kind of what we're working with. Yeah, I think compensation wise, I think she's like, okay, you up that,
yeah.
you know, add a gift card on top of that or free dinner.
Done and done.
And she's in.
Yeah.
She signed up for all the sequels.
Probably something to do, you know?
But I just hope they pay. I do ultimately hope that like the Debbie Reynolds estate is making tons of money off the Halloween Town movies because they're re-airing these. And people do love all of them, and I guess she's in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she's no longer with us, but they are going to reboot it.
Yeah.
And I just hope that the estate is making money, because she is the reason, I believe, that these movies are what they are.
Oh, yeah, she's fully committed.
She's
dialed in. We got to talk about Calabar.
Wait, because I'm interrupting you for a second because I literally have 4 pages of notes.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Oh, no,
nice. But no, I want you to go, but I don't think we've ever done this podcast where I've had 4 pages of notes. So like, I don't know what was going on with me.
That's me for the Grinch every year.
Like what is happening that I took 4 pages? I don't 4 pages of notes is extensive.
That's good.
Like
that's
I wrote down everything.
The people need to know.
People need to know that.
So when they get to Halloween, I just call it H-Town. When they get to H-Town, she runs into that lady with the weird big nose.
Harriet.
Yes, Harriet.
Wrote that down.
And she says she just got back from volunteering at the Headless Shelter. And I was like, talk about a play on words.
Right. And I had so many questions about that shelter.
Yes.
Because also, so that leads us to believe, I think that whole point of that, the Headless Shelter, is like letting us know that, oh, the people in Halloween Town aren't evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do charity work just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. They're just Halloween creatures.
Yeah. And people are getting decapitated.
Maybe right? Some of them are headless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are Halloween. A lot of, when I think of Halloween, headless horsemen or whatever. But then I think the biggest confusion I had was like, whether or not are these people evil or are they just, I guess they're just Halloween creatures and I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
They're just Halloween people.
Yeah. But I think they're just
outfitted by Spirit Halloween. Like those masks were Spirit Halloween.
100%. Yes.
Like they weren't doing like full prosthetics. Mm-hmm. This was not Jim Carrey on the Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
They were not suiting up Debbie Reynolds with Rick Baker and some CIA agent to teach her to get the prosthetics on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We're covering the Grinch again.
We are. Absolutely.
We're doing, what is it? Our fifth Grinch episode, yes, fourth or Grinch. Fifth.
Yeah.
We were talking, we're going to go to the Grinch. We're
going to
do the universe. Oh, the musical. Yeah, we're going to do the musical.
Pantages. Yeah, right. We're going to go and cover it.
We're going to do a tax write-off. We're going to the Grinch musical at the theater here, which I didn't even know there was a Grinch live stage musical, but we're going to go.
Me neither.
And I also pre-ordered a new Grinch video game for the Nintendo Switch. So stay tuned for that, listeners.
Stop by the dispensary on our way to the Pantages. I cannot wait to be high as a kite.
Settle in for the season. Yeah. I don't even know if listeners love our Grinch episodes. Like, I hope they do.
I hope so, too.
But we do them every year, whether people like it or not.
Yeah,
so we will be covering it again.
Queen Christine Baranski.
Whether people like it or
not. Also, Marnie, this same year, because this came out in 98, she also voiced a bunch of the female ants in A Bug's Life.
Oh my God.
Weird. What? I like to know what people are doing when they're filming other stuff.
Wait, she was a voice of one of the ants?
Yeah, in A Bug's Life.
Oh my God. You know, it wasn't Hayden Panettiere was also one of the young gal ants, I believe. Interesting.
Young Hollywood.
You know, I think Bug's Life is actually underrated.
Oh, it's a wonderful movie.
Yeah. I feel like it kind of gets lost in the Pixar shuffle, but I'm like, Bug's Life actually fucking slaps.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Jenna, let's take a break here and then we're going to come back and I still have 3.5 pages of notes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, so what were you saying? I interrupted you, I believe.
Oh, no.
About my four pages of notes.
There's just so much to think about with Calabar. Now, he is a complicated villain.
Very.
You know, because he pops up with his top hat, approaches strange children in a park, and already I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. And then he pulls candy from his ear. So I'm getting...
This is Mayor version of Calabar.
Yeah.
So before we even know that he's Calabar...
A warlock.
Yeah, he's pulling candy for children out of his ear.
Yeah, in a park. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? You know? Yeah. And then I got the sense that he had a thing with the mom.
Me
with
too.
April O'Neil.
Right. They're pretty open.
They definitely
had something.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, they did. I thought that too, but then that sort of dropped me too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, did they explain it? And granted, I did take four pages of notes, but there were often times where I zoned out because I'm sorry, this was a 1998 made-for-TV original movie, so I did my best. So we might have missed when that was wrapped up, the relationship between April O'Neil and Calabar, Chocolabar.
Like school Akbar. Sweethearts? And I was like, oh, so they have a school system in Halloween Town. Like, right. They went to school together.
Well, also, I know they have a school system because one of the sequels is called Halloween Town High.
Oh, my God.
So we definitely are going to be covering over the next four years.
Absolutely. I'm in. I don't care.
We will be covering the rest of these movies, despite the fact that they are basically a Power Ranger episode.
Yes.
That's what we're looking at here. I mean, all of the rules are a little crazy because that cab driver who I love, the gay one,
yes.
He also suggested that somebody got a nose job.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute. So
they're
also doing plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was, I was thinking like, what are the beauty standards in Halloween Town?
Yeah.
Because every place, I have a friend who's a plastic surgeon.
Oh, cool.
And she always says, You should get plastic surgery somewhere you don't live because everyone has sort of a look. So meaning like if you're going to get your boobs done, your bubbies, and you live in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
Then you should get your bubbies done in another state.
San Antonio. Texas.
Otherwise, because each region is known for like a specific look and the doctors just even subconsciously, different doctors will end up doing similar work because it's like sort of the beauty standards around them, right?
You can see that here, like Beverly Hills, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. So Beverly Hills, it's like if you're getting your eyes done or something, maybe go somewhere else. Or if you want them to look a little different than what they're doing in your regionally. Does that follow?
I've heard that go to Encino. That's what people say. Which is like Encino Man
for
a
surgery
movie?
Stuff?
Yeah.
I bet it. Encino Man feels like a summer movie to me.
Okay, maybe we'll do that next summer.
Although they're in school, so that leads me to believe fall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Hannah, my friend and I were talking on our other podcast about like what spiritually some movies could be set in like, let's say summer, but can feel spiritually like a fall movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or some movies feel very like August to me, like late summer movies.
Like Now and Then.
Now and Then is very much an August movie.
Absolutely.
And there's a graveyard scene. So I think the argument could be made that it also works for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's like different season movies. Obviously Halloween Town is season. Oh, but so I was thinking of the beauty standards in Halloween Town because we're seeing so many different looks. So if there is plastic surgery there, I'm like, okay, so like, what is the look of Halloween Town? Like, what's the ideal standard?
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could have shown us and said, that's the ideal male beauty for
because Luke the Punk.
Luke the Punk.
Yeah, who I didn't realize until the end where he's like, oh, I pledged allegiance to Calabar and he made me handsome. So that I could try to get a date with you.
Oh, so
I'm like,
maybe
he's
supposed to be like the beauty standard.
Yeah, remember when he turned
into a troll.
Yeah, but you're right. Like maybe Luke the Punk is like that's a hot
guy. Okay. Yeah,
I'm just spitballing here because that was the only other besides Debbie Reynolds, the only other human looking person who lives there.
I bet you that Debbie Reynolds had a conversation with the director and was like, okay, so the ideal beauty standard here. I feel like she would have dug into this. Mm-hmm. And then she probably decided she was the ideal beauty standard for the women. Mm-hmm. And then Luke, obviously, like you're pointing out, was meant to be the ideal beauty standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then
okay,
I love that Calabar traded him being handsome for his allegiance. He's like, I'll make you handsome if you help me destroy the Cromwells or whatever.
You know, it always pissed me off about the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
I keep bringing up the Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. But it's like she gives up her voice to look cute or whatever, or mm-hmm. to get legs.
Yeah.
And I just vagina, don't know I that I would want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, imagine not being able to communicate. Obviously, Little Mermaid Ariel can learn sign language, but she loses her voice mm-hmm. as a grown-up. I mean, I think she's technically like 16 or supposed to be 16.
Like, change everything about your physical appearance to please a man.
Yeah, like,
but like, don't talk.
Right, Jenna. Yeah. That ain't right. Ladies, if you're out there.
She didn't have a voice for like all of Act 2 and 3, right? Like, she didn't.
Did you see the live action?
No. Have you?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
No, I don't like any of those live actions. To me, it was actually the best one, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd ever watch it again. It's so long. There's like this really aggressive song by Awkwafina that just like haunts me. Yeah. Because Awkwafina plays Scuttlebutt.
Oh, okay.
But she's really just playing Awkwafina.
Yeah.
And they give her a song. And it like literally like play, Jenna, I'm not even kidding. It's not in the original animated. Like they created a new song for her. And I'm like, no one needed to do this.
No.
We don't need a
Flounder doesn't need a solo. Yeah.
And then I hate the most that they make them look so ugly. Mm-hmm. Like they make Flounder look ugly.
Yeah, because Flounder was cute. Yeah. So was Scuttle. I don't know why they won't just re-release the original cartoons in theaters. Like, could you imagine if they released Aladdin? I'd be like, okay, I'm going four times in IMAX.
Oh.
They make so much money.
But even if you're not going to do that, like there's no reason they have to make the animated fish looks so fucking ugly.
Yeah.
Like, just give Flounder some big ass eyes mm-hmm. and let Ariel be live action and Melissa McCarthy be Ursula. Like, that's enough. Why do we have to make Flounder look so fucking ugly? Mm-hmm. Even I was talking to my niece about this when we went on family vacation, and I was asking, I grill my nieces and nephews. I'm like, did you see The Little Mermaid? Like, what did you think? And she felt the same way. She's like, Flounder was so ugly. Like, she loves The Little Mermaid. And she's like, I loved Ariel and I loved the music and everything, but I didn't like Flounder, she says. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, kids don't like that. Like, why are the filmmakers so against giving the animated fish bigger eyes to make it look cute mm-hmm. or whatever?
Fillers, like, look cute.
A little filler. Like, why do they, or The Lion King one was the same way, or Beauty and the Beast. And it's like, why does Lumiere looks so fucking ugly. Yeah. Like, make him look cute.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to get this. See, I
love Lumiere. He's such a sex predator. If you watch that movie with your eyes closed, you're like, Lumiere is up to no good.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I need to watch that. Okay, so then there is a lot of witchcraft. We brought up the talisman, and the rules of the talisman were a little unclear to me.
Yeah, I love that. This is the thing also that Aggie Cromwell, Debbie Reynolds, just has in her weird bottomless pit bag, and she opens it up at the kid's house, and the daughter just puts it on, and she's like, yeah, I'm Wiccan. So she just hands over this, because actually, now that I say it, maybe she was hiding it from him in the human world.
Oh my gosh.
That would make sense. If she's like, here's all these trinkets to keep here away from Halloween Town, so Calabar can't get it.
Okay.
And then her getting on the bus.
Magic school bus.
Okay, which also, again, the rules about the magic school bus, Frankenstein was in there and some other
monster. Oh, yeah, Frankenstein. Yeah, yeah. Just,
rules to
just imagine this. Debbie Reynolds, like, right, psyching herself up before they start recording. She's like, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then
last looks,
like she's trying.
Red leather, yellow leather.
She's like, gotta get in the zone to, like, just make this world believable. Because the other thing, I know I keep going back to Debbie Reynolds being old school Hollywood, you know, like, those kinds of actors, they're not just coming. I feel like she was probably method. Like, she was, she's coming on set like with a different kind of energy than a young generation, new generation actor is
That's what, like, Laura Dern's mom, Diane Ladd, who's like, I mean, a classic Hollywood actress, has done like 200 movies. So she does these Hallmark movies now, and she's a pro.
Oh, yeah. She is not going on that set without knowing every detail about her fucking character.
Oh, 100%.
Whereas, like, you and I, as actors, if we were showing up on Hallmark movie set or something, we'd be like, okay, let's just, like, laugh through this and have a good time. And, like, I'd be, where's the craft service table? Like, that's what I'd be thinking. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't be a little bit of professional once we start recording, but Debbie Reynolds, Diane Ladd, like, Blythe Danner, like, that generation they're not arriving. It doesn't matter if they're in a fucking Disney Channel original movie or some other big Oscar Martin Scorsese movie. They are doing the same level of preparation.
Yeah, that they would for Alfred Hitchcock. And they probably did.
And they probably did. Like
Sam Goldwyn? Okay.
It's what's that is saying? No small actors or no small parts or...
Yeah, no small roles, only small actors? I don't remember.
Okay, so while they're in Halloween Town trying to fight Calabar... The mom hadn't arrived to Halloween Town yet. She was back home in the real world watching hair regrowth commercials.
Yes. Confused, like depressed about losing her husband, which we still don't know how he died. Maybe we find out in the later movies. I guess we'll discover over the next 3 years.
Yeah. You know, I bet a lot of actual Halloween Town fans are listening to this podcast and like shouting out facts to us because they know the other films. And we apologize to you guys.
Calabar killed him. Duh. Yeah.
We are just now tiptoeing into the world of Halloween Town. And so we're wrapping our heads around this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is real time.
Yeah. Is it a place or a state of mind? That's my big question over the next 3 years.
Okay. Over the next 3 years, we're going to figure that out.
Yeah.
I bet you by the end of our 3 year journey with these films, there'll be a reboot.
Probably. It'll be our ninth season.
And we'll just have to keep going. Like they'll just keep making them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is our new Grinch.
This is our new Grinch.
So anyway, yeah, we're still learning the rules.
Oh yeah. So she's at home. Also when, Marnie sneaks out, the mom is just openly doing dishes, putting stuff in Tupperware, and she opens the door and closes it right behind her. Like she would have gotten caught.
Oh yeah.
Like not sneaky whatsoever.
You know, I just made Matt watch last night, the Lizzie McGuire movie. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I like love that movie. I saw it three or four times in theaters, like when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And it's a bad movie made for little girls, but I did see it in theaters a bunch of times. And Matt he didn't know like anything about Lizzie McGuire. Like we had something, there was like a fabric, Joanne Fabrics sent like some stuff to the house. And one of the things that they sent was like this thing with the Lizzie McGuire cartoon on it. Mm-hmm. And Matt was like, who's that? He didn't know he didn't recognize the Lizzie McGuire cartoon version of the character. And so I was like, I have to school you in this. Mm-hmm. So
watching this.
I don't remember what my point was bringing up the Lizzie McGuire movie. I think I was going somewhere with this, but I did make him watch it.
Was it the mom sneaking out?
Yeah. So sneaking out. So Lizzie McGuire, the whole movie is like sneaking around Rome and she accidentally becomes this pop star. It's fantastic.
That's right.
And so she's sneaking out of the hotel room and the whole time, every time she sneaks out, I'm like, she would have gotten caught. Like they're just not doing it good.
Yeah. Did you sneak out ever?
No, I was a pretty good kid. Maybe a couple times. I would blame everything on my friend Adam. Like I would sneak alcohol and stuff. I'd be like, that's Adam's. Like he got blamed for everything.
Yeah.
But I would sneak around a little bit like that. And actually my senior year of high school, we did this thing called, what was it called? Where basically you interned for 2 weeks and you had someone, you were supposed to go at the end of the school year, senior year, go to intern somewhere and find someone to sign off on it. And my now sister-in-law, who wasn't married to my brother, she worked at this office. And my friend Tina and I got her to sign off on it was called the senior project.
Amazing.
And so my friend Tina and I just played hooky for 2 weeks and like drank at home while my parents were working or like whatever. And my sister-in-law had to sign us off on it. But that was like 2 weeks of hooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you a hookie?
I love the word hookie. Yeah. I did. I remember the only time I did, I asked for permission, which is so silly.
Oh my God.
It was when NSYNC tickets were going on sale.
Sure.
And NSYNC was going to be at the Four Seasons Olympic in downtown Seattle. And so me and my BFFs, Ange and Trina and Ashley, we skipped school and went downtown. And I met them. I'm in the NSYNC Making the Tour DVD.
I gave them
a little, you'll see me. I have like mushroom, like, you know, Rachel Green hair.
You have to find
And I
that.
Hand, I think Justin, a octopus toy and a postcard from Seattle.
Sure.
In it.
Wow.
I know. Weird, right?
Oh my God. That's the best story.
But yeah, so I played hooky to meet NSYNC.
As anyone should.
Yeah.
I also feel like I, like St. Patrick's Day, we used to go downtown and like play hooky. And one time we did get caught and we had to go to my dad's office. I might have told this story before, but we got caught. My dad sat us down and like covered for us, but it was like very like, my dad was like called me and my friend Katie into his office and he like lit a cigarette and he's like, listen, kids, he's like, I'm not going to tell your mothers. He's like, get out of here. And you didn't hear that from me. It was like very like, I don't know.
Mob.
Yeah, like mobster style. Like my dad lighting up the cigarette and like yeah. sitting us down and be like, I'm not going to get in trouble. You kids are good, but get out of here.
Yeah. Speaking of, does this movie take place in Cleveland?
No, but there was a Cleveland reference.
Yeah, the punchline. The kid was like, oh, Cleveland. I was like, wait, what?
That led me to believe the writer must have been from Cleveland because, you know, we're a pretty loyal bunch. Yeah. Us Midwestern people, you know, so I feel like... I want to talk about the green screen.
Oh, now, yeah. Oh, can we please?
I didn't say this previously, but I might have been like a touch stoned. Like I had a little bit of my soccer mind before I started watching this movie.
Yeah.
And it really kicked in during the green screen flying scene.
Yes.
And I think I only had a little tiny bit of the weed, but by the time we got to the green screen flying, like I was flying, mm-hmm. like I was looking around thinking like, what is happening?
No, totally. Yes.
Like it really hit me.
Speaking of internships, whoever, that was an unpaid worker who made this.
It was like Windows 95. Like that's how it was designed.
Yeah. They're like, hey, intern for senior project, could you make this green screen movie?
Jenna, it was crazy. It literally did feel like something a high school student could have done 100%. With a green screen.
Yeah. And so we have Calabar. I kept rewinding it, trying to figure out who the big goblin in the sky.
I love the idea of you
was.
Just like rewinding it 100 times.
Oh, I did. I was like, wait, I missed something. Goblin? Yeah. Who's that goblin? So also the movie theater, the locked up movie theater is where all the people go to like die.
Well, that's where like Calabar was turning them into statues.
Yes.
And
in
then,
a movie theater.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And that was when the mom showed up too, when that was being revealed and mm-hmm. the mom showed up and the mom got turned into a statue.
Mm-hmm.
And then Debbie Reynolds gets turned before they're able to defeat Calabar, mm-hmm. which I didn't understand why Calabar didn't also put the spell on the three kids.
Yes.
Like they just kind of got away, but they weren't moving quickly to get away. They were just sort of standing there and they watched their mom and grandma get frozen in a really intense scene.
Yeah.
And I think they probably had to add this in post or something because there was a moment where Debbie Reynolds, I wrote this down. She gets frozen and she puts her finger up and points mm-hmm. like the professional she is. And she says, go, it's just an evil spirit. It's just an evil spell that freezes us. So I feel like they had to add that because they were like, kids are going to be too scared. Mm-hmm. It looks like they died.
Mm-hmm. In like this portal in a movie theater.
And instead, after she got frozen, she was still able to say like, go, yeah. It just freezes us. It's just an evil spell that freezes us.
I wonder if she improvised that.
5, 6, I wouldn't be 7, surprised. 8. And recording. Yeah. It's just an evil spell that freezes us.
Yeah.
Do you think she ran lines with like some famous actress from the 40s?
Oh, 100%. Maybe Carrie Fisher. She said, let's punch this up. Because Carrie Fisher was script doctor. This so I wonder if she like gave her lines.
This was 98. Like, yeah, she was calling up Carrie. Like, okay, let me run these lines with you.
Yeah.
Or I imagine her calling like... Tony Curtis or something. Yeah. Tony Randall. Marlon Brando. She's like, Marlon, I got this new film.
Marlon.
It's called Halloween Town.
Mm-hmm.
Run some lines with me, baby.
Yeah.
Let's have a smoke.
Chain smoking at the Chateau Marmont. Yeah.
Let's fuck real quick and then let's run lines.
Yeah. Oh the man. Glory days.
The glory days. They don't make it. Yeah. They just don't make movies like they used to.
So the evil guy. So Calabar and the goblin in the movie screen, are they friends and allies or no?
Wait, say that sentence again.
So what's Calabar's relationship to, you know, the crazy man? I think I sent you a picture of his
face.
Not
the mayor?
Yeah, like this guy.
I thought Calabar and the mayor were the same person.
I will bend all the creatures of the world to my will, this guy.
Yeah, so that's Calabar, right?
Oh, that is Calabar.
That is Calabar. And he's like the same as the mayor.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I could be wrong. I did take 14 or 4 pages of notes, but again, I could be.
Yeah.
To me, that was the twist, was that Calabar is the mayor.
Is that... Okay, yeah, that makes sense. The warlock. Yeah. And so he just wanted...
Before they were even able to hurt him or get rid of him, mm-hmm. they had to go around town. The kids had to go around town. They had to go to the Halloween Town gym, which I would like a full movie of that gym.
Oh, absolutely.
The community center, you know, mm-hmm. where they found... It was like all the dogs and cats were doing aerobics.
Yeah.
I was like, give me like Halloween Town Gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the next spinoff. Gym,
the fifth one.
They had to collect something from a bathing ghost. Was that something?
Yeah. So that they found that ghost in a cryo chamber and made him cry. Captured one of his tears.
You know, I mentioned this on my other podcast too, but I'm very close to because of social media, becoming like doing witch spells, mm-hmm. because I follow all these ones that they do like apothecary spells. Ooh. With like lavender and eye of newt and like, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they look so cozy. And so I feel like I'm so close to accidentally becoming like a TikTok witch.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not, nothing wrong with it.
I like this for you.
Yeah, like it's very. See, why not? I feel like I could do it. Like,
turn,
I want
to bathroom into a lab.
Right, like, I'm ready. But these people, these young kids, have to go around and get all these things for their spell.
It was like a vampire fang, and so there's a dentist who just.
Oh, they had to shave. No, they had to shave the werewolf.
Did they shave the werewolf?
Did we talk about that?
No.
Okay, they did. There was another gay character, a hairdresser, who was a werewolf, mm-hmm. and they had to get some hair. And the brother shaves this werewolf's hair at a beauty salon,
mm-hmm.
which goes back to the beauty standards of Halloween Town. Like, what are the hairstyles?
Mm-hmm.
But the brother shaves his head without his knowing, and then does like an Austin Powers, yeah, baby. He's like, yeah, baby. 98 was wild.
98. Yeah, I feel like they drew on a lot of other tropes. Like, even when April O'Neil comes to retrieve her children, so she gets on the bus, goes to Halloween Town, which she hasn't been maybe since she dumped Calabar.
Yeah.
And I felt very Mrs. Doubtfire vibes. It felt like Miranda Hillard going mm-hmm. to the crazy family member and being like, these are my kids. You stop like fucking with their minds, you know? And Debbie Reynolds was kind of like, okay, yeah, you're right. I am a little nuts. I got very much Robin Williams vibes.
100%.
From that moment of like her taking the children away. For no real reason. They're having a fun time like romping around Halloween Town. Right. Nothing's happening.
Nothing's bad's there. They got charity work going on and all sorts of headless charities and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't, the mom really was the worst.
And she never had a redeeming moment. Like, I wanted her to meet someone or reconcile with her kids and they're like, oh, you're a cool mom, you know, but it never happened.
In my research, I found that the act that played the mom, Judith mm-hmm. Hogue, mm-hmm. thinks that she got the role because someone in casting or something, their kid loved Ninja Turtles, so that's how she got the role.
Yeah. I love that it was like that in the 90s. Like, hey, I like April O'Neil. Okay, book it, you know?
Right.
Like, that's, the 90s were wild.
Yeah.
And here we are on strike because the town is up in flames.
I know, as of this recording, we're on strike. Hopefully by the time this episode's released.
Hopefully it's over.
It'll be over. But the 90s were so wild. I mentioned Austin Powers and it's like mm-hmm. so weird to think back on a time when Austin Powers, it was like everybody was doing that impression.
Yes.
Like everybody. Mm-hmm. You'd go to the gas station, you'd go to the grocery store, you'd meet a new friend, you'd go on mm-hmm. a date. Like, it didn't
matter.
Mojo.
Yeah, whatever.
Everybody was saying fucking Mojo and yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like the Borat year. Remember the Borat years?
Yeah.
What was the Borat?
I love Borat.
My wife. Everyone was saying my wife.
He's so funny.
He is funny. He cracks me up. I know. Okay, so then the episode ends, or the movie ends. Luke becomes a troll with the big nose and ears, mm-hmm. but Luke says to Marnie, the oldest sister, says, look him up if she comes back to Halloween Town, suggesting a sequel.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Look him up. Also, she's 13 and like,
I just burped into the microphone.
Let's not sexualize Marnie, right? Like, I feel like they were trying to be like, oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you on a date. And then she kind of kisses the corner of his gremlin mouth. I was like, wait, what?
Who was your, take yourself back to 98. Who was your ultimate crush?
Oh, Steve Martin.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that option.
I love Steve Martin. What about you?
I loved Steve Martin too. And not in a sexual way, but I loved him.
Yeah. And Paul Walker.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Paul, was he around it?
Jr. was, she's
Paul
all
Walker
that
was probably, that. He was, yeah, he was in She's All That, Paul Walker. And he was in a movie called Meet the Deedles in like 98 mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I saw in theaters. So he was, he was a hottie.
He was around. Yeah.
Steve Martin, I loved his books. He had like a book called Pure Drivel, I think.
Oh, I don't know if I've read that.
And then his memoir is fantastic. Have you ever heard his memoir?
Born Standing Up. It's incredible. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. You know what? We should read, we're probably not going to do this, but we should try to find a Debbie Reynolds biography or memoir and see what kind of coverage she gives the Halloween Town franchise.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would give us some good eyes and ears on that book, would give us some good information as to like how she felt about the franchise as a whole.
Oh, yeah. Also, did you read any of the reviews on IMDb? Because I love also doing that.
I love when you do that. Did you find some?
I did. So it's polarizing. So there are a handful of ones, which were clearly written by people who have seen the movie. There are a lot of tens that read as if it's someone who is financially invested in this film. They're like, wow, I really liked the pacing. I enjoyed the plot. Wow. What costumes? I was like, okay, you're the producer. Like, just cosplaying as a civilian.
Devil's advocate, flip side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's strange to like go on IMDb for a movie like this and to rate it one star because it's like, we are talking about a made-for-TV Disney Channel movie from 98.
The bar's low.
So the bar is, like, really low. Yeah. So it does kind of crack me up that people are like, this movie was so bad, and I'm going to hop on IMDb, because you have to go through an extra effort to go rate something.
Dial up, internet.
I always think it's weird in general. Like, if you don't like something, just, like, don't... Just move on from it.
Yeah. I never leave negative reviews.
I don't either.
I just, like, don't care.
You know, I get so pissed at, I know. I get so pissed at Yelp. Now I won't even go on Yelp anymore.
Also, I've, like, seen how hard it is to get stuff made. Like, I've had three movies made, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to even get something made in this town. And so if it reaches a Disney Channel 9 p.m. whatever thing, I'm like, you know what? So that thing has been through so much war and hell.
I know. And the joke's on all those one-star reviewers, because this is a franchise.
Yeah, exactly. This is more.
This is more movies than a lot of the other things.
Than The Holiday.
Yeah, we don't have any other holiday movie. No. The Holiday.
Yeah.
We don't have a Family Stone Part 2, but there's four fucking Halloween towns.
Yeah. Oh,
so they did something right.
We get asked to do Family Stone a lot.
I know. There's so many we have to cover.
That's a good movie, though.
You know, the other thing that we get all the time on this podcast to cover is Home for the Holidays. And we always say, I really do want to, it's Jodie Foster directed it, Holly Hunter stars, Robert Downey Jr. It's one of my favorite Thanksgiving movies. I watch it every year, but it's not usually available on streaming.
Mm,
and so every single year we go to look it up, and then it's like, well, the listeners can't really see it.
This movie
you can watch on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. So we do try our best to keep it to movies that people can tune in for. But nowadays, all these movies are floating in and out of streaming services. Like, I don't know where it's at, when it's at.
I bet a lot of people listening have a VHS bootleg recording with a label on it that says Halloween Town. Because remember when you could record movies? I used to do that all the time. Off of Stars Free Weekend.
Yeah. You know, my parents just sent me a bunch of my old VHS movies that I had, like, taped. And we have a VHS player in one of the rooms here. And I was watching, like, stuff that I have these tapes where I would record, like, sketches from Mad TV and SNL and, like, collect VHS tapes that were collection of sketches. And I found them.
Mad TV was so fun.
I know.
Miss Swan.
I know. I loved all the SNL too. I always think of the era growing up with the women of Molly Shannon, Sherry O'Terry, and Anna Gasteyer. Absolutely. Like, to me, that was just, like, so peak. And
glory days.
So most of the tape is just, like, those three women in sketches.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, the VHS, it's wild. And then I have, like, random, I was going to say random porn, which is true. Sorry. To talk about that during our Halloween town.
That's awesome. That is so
sorry
funny.
To bring that up during this Debbie Reynolds that. Halloween town recap, but
I also love to just thinking, I mean, back to, like, Calabar's lair, like, he chained up. Porn made me think of
gay
Calabar's
porn
lair.
From the 90s, where, AKA, like, let's talk about Calabar's lair.
Yeah. Like, this guy's a working actor. I looked him up, 'cause I was like, he's giving me Gene Wilder. He's giving me, I don't know, Unhinged, Doesn't Blink, but I like the fact that he selected a movie theater. So in Halloween Town, there was once a thriving Cineplex.
Yeah, there was a movie. Scene. Debbie Reynolds says they were playing a movie called It's a Wonderful Death there.
Oh, my gosh. That's was such, like, a good line.
That's such a good line. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie theater. It's like that. Wasn't there like a book, Death of the Movie Theater or something? Wasn't there like a scary story?
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe that's where they got it from.
Yeah.
I don't know. The movie does the end, though, with they have to do this spell. They got to put the talisman into the jack-o'-lantern somehow. Yes. And so Marnie's, like, dying or getting frozen. But she, like, just has just enough energy, like Debbie Reynolds did, to give that line of exposition. Marnie has just enough energy to drop the talisman into the jack-o'-lantern and save the whole town of Halloween Town. Mm-hmm. Luke becomes
Without
a troll.
Without training, by the way.
Right.
This bitch had no training. That's the whole premise, was, like, she has to start her training. I'm like, oh, she didn't even need it.
Right. And also, by the way, all she really had to do was, like, drop the fucking talisman.
Not hard. That was handed to her by her grandma in her own house.
That was when they had that exclusive Disney gay moment where it was like the skeleton cab driver cuddling up with the demon. Yeah. And I was like, oh, if this movie were to come out now, Disney would publicize that as if, like, they had some big gay characters in the movie. You know how they do with all their new movies now, where they're like, Beauty and the Beast has an exclusive gay moment. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do if this was being released now. And it would just be like that skeleton man cuddling up with a dark lord.
I liked his running joke about he doesn't accept payment, because he's like, oh, catch me in the next life. Har, har, har. You know?
Yeah. But also,
is there an afterlife in Halloween Town?
And what's the monetary situation? Like,
yeah.
I'm led to believe that the werewolf is cutting hair, not for free.
Yeah.
Like there had to have been some money exchanged.
Yes. And there's just a lot of people walking around in the town square. That's what
a
was.
A lot.
Yeah. Aimless walking.
I would like to see some sort of mashup with the Gilmore Girls town square. Did you watch yes. Gilmore Girls?
I've seen it like one episode.
My brain is. You've only seen one episode.
I know. I should binge it. I need to get like an oral surgery.
You need to watch all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cozy. It's very fall, autumn.
Great writing.
And I think that it would be nice to see some of these Halloween town creatures in the town square in Gilmore Girls, which it's.
What's it called?
What's it called? Pine. Can't think of it now. People are yelling it at the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do love Gilmore Girls. I love it. Okay, so Jenna, that's the end. Do you have any other final thoughts about this unhinged film?
Yeah, I think I have, even after seeing it, I have more questions.
Stars Hollow, answers. By the way, is the name of the Gilmore. I looked it up. Stars Hollow.
That's right. Yeah. I almost said Sleepy Hollow, but that's a whole other thing. I like this movie. It had no rules. That's my takeaway. Like at the start, they're like, put garlic on the, you know, doorknob. And isn't that a Dracula thing? I'm like, oh no, we're involving Dracula in this.
Maybe.
Vampires. There's just anything goes. I'm curious to see the second one.
Would love to get my eyes on that original dark script that was mentioned.
Yes.
That was originally going to be on NBC in the night at 9 p.m. hour.
9 p.m. I cannot imagine this airing at 9 p.m.
No.
But I guess it's, you know, they took out the dark stuff. Yeah. But what any final thoughts?
You know, I have been in this. Oh, I guess I'm always sort of like this, but I go on YouTube a lot and I tend to find like old sitcoms, like ones that only lasted for a couple episodes or six episodes or 10 or no more than one season, but like very crazy ones. And I love going back and sort of putting myself in that time and thinking about how did this get made or like what were the logistics and the things that had to come together for this, I don't know, Nathan Lane sitcom where he's a mayor or whatever. There's always these like weird things. And I like love that. And this reminded me of that in like the best way of like watching this movie because I had never seen it, but obviously it's got this huge fan base and stuff. But so putting myself into the position of like, how did this get made? When was this? And what was the reason why this took off when so many other things don't take off? And I don't know. I think there's so much of to be said about the way that we used to consume television cables and how they would be able to rerun things a million times.
Yes.
And nowadays, I worry kids don't really do that. Of course, you have these streaming services. Kids can go on Netflix and like rewatch something a bunch of times. But I think so much of our generation, we have these attachments, these nostalgic, really powerful attachments to these things because they were just showing them to us all the time. So something like Hocus Pocus, it aired every Halloween and then it became this humongous phenomenon and it was not a hit when it was released in theaters. And I don't know, Halloween Town to me felt very much like it was like sitcom level quality, but then they just keep replaying it and you grow this comfort to it.
Yes.
And so I think so many people of our age, that's probably why they were so attached to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. My friend Christian said he's watched it like 1,000 times. He's like, it's so bad, but it's so comforting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Even the music was so jarring to me. That was not something I didn't mention off the top, but it was done by the guy, Mark Mothersbaugh. I think, I don't know how you say his name, but he did the Rugrats music. Like, you know, that theme song where it's like that weird kind of sound. And he does that for this movie has such a weird, it actually is like not great on the ear. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like cozy.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to keep watching it, then now I just saw in my research, they're coming out with the vinyl soundtrack for Halloween Town.
What?
So people even have this affection for the music, which upon my first viewing, I was like, I don't like this music.
Yeah.
But you come attached to it.
Yeah.
And so I could see
it. It wears you down.
By year like six Calabar. Of us doing these recaps, like I'm going to fucking love that soundtrack.
Yeah. So. I'm curious to see what happens with Calabar. Because I know he returns, I think, in the next one.
Is it called Calabar Returns or something?
So. Yeah, it's Calabar Returns. And I was like, perfect.
I'm in.
And if the mom finds love.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens with the siblings?
And, like, does Marnie and Luke get together?
Yeah.
And we didn't mention, too, the boy becomes a warlock.
Excuse
me. I keep burping into the mic.
That's cool.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, no, it's all good.
I'm not editing it out because it's too much work.
No, don't.
But I love you all, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But I agree. This is our new Grinch. It's we're going to keep doing our Grinch, but we're going
to
do.
Jenna, speaking of Grinch, we will be coming back in November to recap holiday movie, Christmas movies, seasonal movies.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start it off as we do every year with some Halloween content for you guys. So hope you enjoyed this episode of Halloween Town's recap. But just please subscribe or follow the podcast wherever you listen to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast, because we're going to be coming at you with lots of new episodes. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned this holiday season. Our goal every season is like six episodes.
Yeah.
And we always end up doing more than that. But
yeah.
That's our goal. So it might not be every week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will be.
We're
going to try our best. We both have a lot going on. We love doing it.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast to get all the updates, and we post all of our holiday content there. I'm also at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Jenna.Brister on Insta. And we should carve jack-o'-lanterns this year.
Let's do it.
Let's everyone carve jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, and we should, instead of candles, we'll put talisman in it.
Yes! I'm down.
In honor of Halloween Town.
Perfect.
Jenna, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween,
Danny. I love you, and we'll see you. We'll talk more come November. Love you all. Bye-bye. Jenna, I know I just logged us off, but there was something from my notes that I just wanted to bring up, and I have to mention it.
Yeah.
They need to do a big budget Halloween Town movie. So if they're going to reboot it, because don't you feel like the rules of this world now that they've established, and it's bonkers.
Bonkers.
But wouldn't you like to see like a big budget?
Yes. Where you have someone like Alec Guinness doing the Calabar effects, where you have like real creatures, real scary.
Give them 100
practical
mil.
Effects. Yeah. Give them 100 mil.
100 mil. Let's see Calabar return.
Yeah.
Again. Calabar returns again.
Yeah.
Reynolds, rest in peace. Like, we'll have, you know, we'll figure that out, recast it.
Yeah.
And let's give them tons of money.
Yes. Like, I want the level of like Predator, Crouch. Alien.
I want Avatar.
Yeah. I want Avatar.
Like, I want Jim Cameron to come in and do Halloween Town 5.
Yes.
That's what we need.
I'm in.
I just had to say that. Okay. Love you. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.